You love football? Visit Skybook Sportsbook for live odds on all your favorite games 24/7. And sign up with Skybook.ag now and feel the action like a pro. Since 1997, Skybook.ag is the preferred destination for finding the best odds on all the sports you like. For a limited time, deposit $100 or more and claim a 175% free play bonus when you open your new account and mention promo code DFSARMY. So get signed up at Skybook.ag today.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for another Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns podcast. My name is Kevin Allen, and I am rolling solo today, about to break down the entire Week 11 main slate of games from a daily fantasy sports, that's FanDuel and DraftKings, but also for regular fantasy football purposes as well. We are sponsored by Skybook Sportsbook, where you can bet these games. If you go to skybook.ag and use promo code DFSARMY, you can get up to a 175% free play bonus. Just open an account, mention DFSARMY as your promo code, and they will give you a double bonus. Pretty sweet. Bet the games. All right, let's jump right into Week 11. We're coming up, I should probably talk a little bit about Week 10. Very interesting week. A lot of big plays that we talked about hit, Trubisky and Ingram. A lot of really, really popular players and plays did not hit. I think the most glaring of which was Deion Lewis of the Titans, even in a great game for the Titans. It was a very chalky play that missed last week. And it was a little bit tricky with picking tight ends in particular, where most of them failed in Week 10. So let's see what Week 11 has to bring. And it starts with a very exciting game. We've got the Panthers. We've got the Lions at home. Panthers are favored by 4 in this game, according to Skybook Sportsbook, with an over-under of 51 points. So this is the first game of the slate, and it is a pretty good one. Now let's roll through the important numbers to start. Panthers run defense, 7th overall in DVOA, one of the better run defenses in the league. Pass defense-wise, 20th overall, in essence, nondescript. On the Lions side, the Lions have the worst run defense in the league, matched only by their terrible pass defense. I'm saying the worst, but Lions are ranked 28th overall in DVOA. It's really bad. Pass defense, 30th overall, DVOA. Really bad. 34. So, Lions just bad. Panthers, a little bit better against the run, but vulnerable to the pass. So, looking at this game, I think it's pretty clear to target the Panthers' offense. That's Christian McCaffrey. You're talking Cam Newton. Can't trust too many of their pass catchers. There's a few of them, but I guess Devin Funchess would be in play. You know, maybe a DJ Moore, and certainly Greg Olsen. But this feels like a game where it's going to be tough to really figure out which Panthers pass catcher to mess with. I'm not sure if Darius Slay is healthy. I thought he might have gotten hurt and been out last week. So if Slay was in, that would give us a little bit of direction, because maybe they put him on Funchess, which would shift a little bit of the passing game action over to DJ Moore or Greg Olsen in that case, but we have to see what his status is. From the Lions offense, I mean, if you look at the numbers, Panthers are pretty good against the run. You know, Kerryon Johnson continues to sort of be an interesting player. I think the Lions are trusting him more and more, or or trusting their eyes. LeGarrette Blount is a freaking statue out there. All right? He is molasses footed. I don't know how else to put it. When you see LeGarrette Blount run, he takes three or four steps. He's not going anywhere. I don't know why they keep rolling that corpse out there. This team should be all about Kerryon Johnson. Now, one concern is the sites have been jacking up the salary level on Kerryon Johnson. He's coming off of a massive, massive performance against the Bears. Totally unexpected, too. Very low ownership. I mean, who's taking running back against the Bears with Khalil Mack? But he went bananas, had a big play, passing game touchdown. That's a high variance event. He had some nice carries. Not a great yards per carry, but got in the end zone. So he's coming up a monster game. He's priced up to an area that I am not comfortable with, at the very least on DraftKings. But let's take a look at Christian McCaffrey, also priced up a little bit, but for good reason. This is an excellent matchup. McCaffrey's just been super consistent. You know, DraftKings especially, 37, 32, 21, 15, 15, 20, 24, 30. So he's been relatively consistent, a big play running back, and this is a spectacular matchup for him. I'm going to say that Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr. are always in play. You know, did Galladay have a good week last week? Pretty good. 20 points on DraftKings. And, you know, these two are perennially underpriced. So, down with all of that. All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. And this one's interesting because I don't have a total or an over-under on the Skybook. Sportsbook, big board. So let me see what the story is here. It looks like they're not sure who's going to play for the Ravens at quarterback. So we don't have Vegas lines just yet. We don't have lines. We don't have an over-under yet. They're not sure. You sneaky, sneaky betting people don't want to let us make bets until you know for sure. So let's just look at the numbers real quick, and I will see if I can find these odds anywhere else. If there's any books out there that will... All right, well, I got something. I got a little something for you. The Ravens are favored by 4, according to one source that I have, but we'll see if that holds up. All right, meanwhile, here's what we need to know. Bengals, terrible against the run. Unfortunately, the Ravens can't run. One of the worst running teams in the league. But the Bengals, 27th DVOA versus the run. Pass defense, 16th overall. Very bad in general, or below average defense for the Bengals. And particularly bad against the run. Whereas, Ravens run defense, 4th overall DVOA. Pass defense, 6th overall DVOA. Basically, the Ravens are a team we do not want to mess with. To make matters worse, AJ Green is out, and we saw last week that without his number one weapon, this entire Bengals offense really just doesn't flow right. They were able to shift coverage to Tyler Boyd, which was, again, something I was concerned with going into the slate. You know, Boyd looks so good, but then kind of disappointed because what are you going to do? They got him double covered. No, you need that distraction of AJ Green, as much as crazy as that sounds. So, really, really ugly situation here. Very tough to know what to do with this game, just because I don't know if Flacco's going to be starting or who's going to be starting. Could be RG3. Could be Lamar Jackson. It could be Flacco. We don't know, but I don't like it. As bad as this Ravens pass defense is, this Bengals pass defense is, it's not good. I don't like it. So you would think that the Ravens will lean on the run. And that is Alex Collins' time. Now, Alex Collins has done nothing all season. He has not gotten volume, and he's just done a whole lot of nothing. So, could this be the game where he turns it around? I don't know. I know Alex Collins is a pretty good player. He looked good last season. They need to give him volume. We'll see what happens there. I'm not sure I'm going to trust it. I don't think I like anything in this game right now at all. So for daily fantasy purposes, screw that. Let's move on. All right. Next on the docket, we have the Cowboys heading to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. This is an exciting game. According to Skybook Sportsbook, the game total is projected at 48 points, with the Falcons installed as early 3-point favorites. Now let's look at the numbers real quick. And this is a good one because I've been talking about the Atlanta Falcons as a cheat code defense all season. Let's see if the numbers bear it out. All right, let's start with the Cowboys. Cowboys run defense, good. Pass defense, not great. Run defense, fourth overall. DVOA for the Cowboys, that's a very good number. Now, I believe they lost Sean Lee, but whatevs. Pass defense is ranked 26th overall on DVOA, and that's because, hey, you can't run against us. We're going to pass on you, right? 26 is bad. Now, the Falcons have one of the best passing offenses in the league and one of the worst run offenses in the league, which really seems pretty clear. Now, before I get to talking about why the number one offense going up against a shitty pass defense or a great pass offense and why that's good, it seems to make a lot of sense. Here's another weakness on strength situation. Falcons run defense, 31st overall. Just terrible. Cowboys run offense, top five. So we've got a Cowboy strength in the running game against a Falcons weakness defensively in their run defense. Now the Cowboys passing offense has not been good, but it's tough to really judge it because they've added Amari Cooper. They really changed things around and they've looked a little bit better the past few weeks. But I don't think the Cowboys' pass offense is going to start being amazing anytime soon because they're just going to lean on Zeke, especially in a game like this. So let's take a look a little bit deeper. But the clear and obvious play here is Zeke Elliott in all formats. Zeke is coming off a monster game where he destroyed the Eagles. Now we get an even better matchup against the Falcons' run defense that has just been shredded, even by bad players. So they're going to need to turn something serious around if this isn't going to go the way it's going to go. And it's funny, looking at this week, last week the entire elite tier of running backs seemed a little sketchy outside of Todd Gurley, but looking at this week, wow, I want to play them all. Like, you know, McCaffrey in that matchup, Kamara at home. You got Zeke, you got Saquon Barkley, and then Bucks. A lot of exciting games this week with running backs that we really want to get our hands on. So, going to be interesting to try to squeeze all these guys in there. See if we can pull it off. All right, for the Falcons, you know, outside of Julio, it's always a little sketchy. And by sketchy, I mean, you know, we like Calvin Ridley, but he's not a volume guy, and he's a little priced up. You know, Mohamed Sanu, fine. Hooper, fine. Nothing stands out to me. Maybe Matt Ryan. But again, I'm not big on playing offenses against the Cowboys because the style of play that they run, the heavy reliance on Zeke, the slow, if they're doing what they do, which I think they should be able to have their way with the Falcons' defense, we're talking about very slow, very long sustained drives. So this Falcons offense is going to have fewer opportunities to put up points. And so it's not really a recipe for an outsized offensive performance from the Falcons offense. Therefore, I probably will be staying away for the most part. Now, certainly, you know, they're not somebody I'm benching in my season long. I'm playing Julio, but not a situation where I expect a smash spot from any of the Falcons offensive players. Just because the slowness of the Cowboys' run offense and just the way they milk the clock and sort of kill time and shorten the games strategically. All right, moving on. We're still in the 1 p.m. games. And this next one, we've got the Houston Texans heading to Washington to take on the Redskins. The Texans are installed as 3-point favorites, road favorites, with the Skybook Sportsbook game total currently projected at 42.5 points. Not good. Not good. Very low numbers. So let's take a look at the defenses for both of these teams. Texans run defense, number one overall. Number one. They're the best run defense in the league. Don't play Adrian Peterson. Pretty clear. Texans pass defense, pretty good. 14th DVOA, not great, but not allowing a whole lot of yardage. So when they're low end of the yardage, Redskins say, fine by me, we don't like to throw for yardage anyway, so whatever. That suits us. Not a whole lot to like on the Redskins right now. And especially in this game. Now, the Redskins' run defense is 29th in DVOA. That's not good. And the pass defense, 19th. So, you know, Redskins, not a very good team. You know, the best thing that the Redskins have had going for them, they do this ball control offense thing. They've been winning games doing it. But they're a bad team. I think the Texans are a better team, which is why they're a road favorite. But this Redskins run feels like this little bit of like outplaying themselves, you know, playing above their means, so to speak, acting like they're some sort of a contender in the NFC East. I think that's getting ready to come to an end, guys. I'm sorry, Redskins fans. I'm sorry. But there's just no talent on this team. I mean, Adrian Peterson, he was good, you know, 5 years ago. But, I mean, come on. You can't be a run team and you're relying on Adrian Peterson. You can't. It doesn't make sense. They got Alex Smith over there. They have no wide receivers. Maurice Harris is the best wide receiver on this team. And they haven't even done a good job of utilizing their best weapon in Jordan Reed. Now, Reed had another disappointing game last week. 6 targets, 4 receptions, 50 yards. It's not that impressive against the Bucs, the worst team in the league against all defensive metrics, right? Like, if you were ever going to do it, it was last week against the Bucs. Now you have a tough Texans defense coming into town. Seriously? Now, the Texans actually are vulnerable to tight ends, but can we trust Jordan Reed? I mean, the only thing I like about Reed here is the salary has come down on DraftKings to a level at this point where it's basically a punt, $3,800. So, hey, why not? Not somebody I'm interested in on FanDuel. On the Texans side, you know, they recently signed Demaryius Thomas. He came out week one looking strong. They threw to him a lot. They threw him a couple times. He had 61 yards, 3 receptions. Okay. Not great. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is an every week stud. We have to wait to find out about Kiki Kuti. I'm a big Kiki Kuti fan. But the last few weeks since he's been injured, he hasn't done a whole lot. So we have to see if I'll be playing a little Drake, a little Drizzy, this week on the VIP podcast for DFS Army members. Mo Harris, sure, I guess. I don't really like anything on the Washington side, to be clear. I'm not even touching it. Screw that. Boring team. Facing a great defense. What's the point? I'm not super excited about this Texans offense either. I know the numbers say, you know, they'll pass a lot, but this whole game, I like it. I like situations where both teams are quality offenses and can sort of ping pong back and forth with one another for fantasy points potential. And I just don't see that here. I don't see it at all. You know, I mentioned DFS Army VIPs a minute ago, and one of the things that I do every week for DFS Army subscribers, and if you want to check that out, go to dfsarmy.com and you can use my promo code GEEK and get 10% off your monthly subscription. DFS Army covers every sport. We got NBA going right now, NHL, MMA. Our MMA team is worth... It's crazy. It's a niche sport. Our MMA team is so good. It's worth the cost of admission. Our golf team, our NASCAR team, our NBA team is crazy. And NHL, we're covering every sport. We've got tennis covered. We've got college football, college basketball, every daily fantasy sport. All one subscription. VIP allows you to ask questions of our pros. We have top players from every sport answering questions, breaking down the slates. These are ranked players. Very cool stuff. Get in there. Sign up. But one of the things I wanted to mention, and I want to send a shout out, and I'm going to get these names wrong, so I'm going to try it. But one of the things we have going is our single game format optimizer. And it's been crushing. The showdowns on FanDuel, the captain games on DraftKings. Having this has been awesome. And, you know, I just keep seeing DFS Army VIP subscribers in first place. Every single contest, like, it just happens every single week. Last night, or two nights ago on primetime, we had DRamos77 and AR Schussel both tied for first place in the big 500K primetime showdown. Each one of them put in $9 and took home $8,280. They tied. They each won $8,280, which was awesome. I also want to send another shout out to DFS Army VIP subscriber. Okay, you ready for this one? DWerge08 for taking down, and his name is Dan Ware. Dan, for taking down first place in the DraftKings Monday Night Showdown. A share of first place worth a $10 in, $23,261 out. It's crazy. Crushing these contests. That's awesome. I myself tied for first in a couple of the Sunday night ones as well. So very cool to see DFSArmy.com VIP subscribers winning these contests using our tools, using our Domination Station Optimizer, using my breakdowns that I put out for subscribers only for those single game contests, as well as my full slate VIP breakdowns, which come out on Saturdays at DFSArmy.com. So check it out. All right, moving on. Next game on the docket, we have, and this is interesting, I'm looking at the Skybook Sportsbook numbers, and I guess I'm a little surprised here. So we've got the Vikings at the Bears, with the Bears currently installed as 2.5-point favorites. Skybook Sportsbook game total set at 45.5 points. And I'm a little surprised, yeah, to see the Bears favor over the Vikings, but, you know, it's a home game for them. And the Vikings have had some vulnerabilities. Let's look at the numbers. This one's going to be interesting to break down. Vikings run defense, 9th overall DVOA. Fine. Pass defense, a disappointing 19th overall. So, people, team's going to pass on the Vikings. Not going to run so much. Now, again, the Bears' offense doesn't really run. Traditionally, they use Cohen as a scat back and, you know, Howard as a two-down plotter. Nothing to worry about there. Bears, on the other hand, are pretty much in competition with the Ravens for the best overall defense in the league, ranking 2nd overall in run defense, according to DVOA, and allowing literally the fewest rushing yards of any team in the league. Pass defense is currently ranked 4th overall DVOA, and allowing the 3rd fewest passing yards. So it's very rare that you see a team that's top ranked in both against the pass and against the run. That's not the norm. It's definitely not the norm. So the question is, how do you attack this Bears defense? And the answer is you don't. Don't mess with it. I think it's pretty clear. Don't mess with it. Now, on the Bears side, the Vikings are a team that can be attacked via the pass more so than the run. So, I mean, depending on the health of Xavier Rhodes, if Rhodes is playing, I think he's going to be on Allen Robinson, which opens up things for Anthony Miller and maybe Taylor Gabriel. Miller looked really good last week, and I think he's poised for a low-cost top-dollar play. Now, I'm being told that this game was flexed and will be the... And beyond that, there's not a whole lot to like about this particular game. You know, obviously, it's going to be a Sunday nighter, so we'll have to deal with it in the single game format, but fine by me. We'll figure that part out. If I'm doing a single game, you know, there's a lot of pieces here that could go off. Tariq Cohen can go off at any time. And I actually think this is a better game for Tariq Cohen than Jordan Howard. So that's a big way I'm going to attack this one personally. And I am not afraid to play Thielen in any matchup, even the bad ones. So that's a big way I'm considering going. We'll have to see about the health of Stephon Diggs. Let's move on to the next one on the docket. We've got the Bucks heading to New York to take on the Giants. And this is an exciting game, guys. According to Skybook Sportsbook, you got a 52-point over-under. Bucks installed as early one-point underdogs. But both of these teams are expected to put up massive numbers. Let's see if we can figure out why. All right, Bucks run defense. 22nd overall DVOA. Bucks pass defense, 31st overall. Very bad. Giants run and pass defense, terrible. Run defense doesn't matter because the Bucks don't have a running back. But the Giants pass defense, 27th overall DVOA. Oh my goodness. The folks at Skybook Sportsbook who put up and come up with these over-unders are expecting a high-scoring game here, and that makes a lot of sense. The Bucks have been my number one cheat code defense all season. Whoever's playing against them, I'm interested in the offense of that team. And the Giants have just been really bad, too. So, you know, you want to play an offense against them. Two bad defenses that come together. At least one quality offense here. The Bucks are just scrappy. I don't want to say quality offense. I loaded up on Ryan Fitzpatrick last week in cash games. He was my top play. Now you might say, well, that was a shitty call, Kevin. He didn't even throw for a touchdown. I got a bunch of interceptions. Okay. It's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, even without a touchdown, Fitzpatrick put up 20 points and 406 total passing yards. What more can you ask for? He throws for a touchdown, even better. But even without the touchdown, 400 total passing yards. Are you serious? So, yeah, I like Fitzpatrick again. And I don't know about liking Eli Manning as a play, but, I mean, if there ever was a bad enough defense that you might want to think about rolling out some Eli, this is it. I think all the weapons are in play for both teams. There's no one on the Bucs that stands out because they spread the ball around so much. And last week, it's tough to judge by because they didn't throw over any touchdowns, so everybody disappointed. Everybody. I don't think that's going to happen again. This is the Giants. These aren't the Redskins who play these slow, ugly games sometimes. No, these are the Giants who tend to be terrible defensively, ugly, sloppy, give the other team extra chances. This is a high total, and I expect a lot of scoring. So for the Bucks, you know, certainly hybrids are playable. You have Mike Evans and Fitzpatrick and DeSean Jackson, who hasn't done a lot lately. GPP only, tournament only plays. Godwin was the only guy who had a decent game last week, got a bunch of receptions and actually crossed the 100-yard threshold, but you can't count on him. As expected, the Adam Humphries chalk from last week blew up in people's faces. That was no surprise. O.J. Howard had a rough game. He's still priced up a little bit too high for his role. So, you know, we have some interesting players. Evan Ingram against the Tampa Bucks tight end defense, which is terrible. You know, Sterling Shepard is always a little sketchy. Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham's been extremely consistent. He gets a lot of shit from people, but he's extremely consistent. Now, he's not as consistent as Davante Adams or Adam Thielen have been, but he's right there, or Mike Thomas, but he's right there with that group. Right there with him. Going to want a lot of exposure to this game. Saquon Barkley. A lot of exposure. All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. We've got the Titans heading to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total set at 48 points, with the Colts installed as early two-point favorites. Let's look at these numbers real quick. Now, if you look on the little notes on DraftKings next to the player names, this is always fascinating for me. Look on the little notes on DraftKings. They have the Colts marked as the number one, the Titans marked as the number one defense against the running back position. What that means is they're allowing the fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. But that doesn't tell the full tale, because that number accounts for touchdowns, which are in essence a high variance event. So you can run for 100 yards, 150 yards, no touchdown, and your opposing running back only scored 15 or 18 points on DraftKings with the bonus. Whereas another running back who only runs for 78 yards but gets a touchdown, you know, they have a similar number or better, you know, just as good as a 150. So if you run for 80 yards, no touchdown, it's 8 points. It's crap. So your team looks right. So the Titans are simply not allowing a ton of scoring to the running back position. But it's worth noting that their DVOA is 16th overall, not 1 or 5 or 10, 16th. So according to, you know, some other metrics, let's put it, they might not be completely locked in. It's important because Marlon Mack is a guy I've been rolling with the last few weeks, and, you know, he's a little priced down from some of the other guys, so he's one of those players that I want to see if he's interesting to play. Against the pass, the Titans just generally haven't been allowing a lot of points to opposing teams. That has been a thing for them. There's nothing special about this pass defense, 24th DVOA, not allowing a ton of yards, total yards per game. Colts defensively, pretty nondescript. Also not allowing a ton of yardage in the running game, 13th DVOA. Right there, similar to the Titans, though, overall. But allowing a lot of touchdowns, which is interesting. Passing-wise, they are at the bottom of the league, so you can throw on this Colts defense. Now, last week, Corey Davis had a breakout game against the Patriots. 10 targets, 7 receptions, 28.5 fantasy points. He's been a target monster for this team for a while. The Dallas game, also 10 targets, 7 before that, and it's hard to count anything that was going on earlier this season when Mariota was having the numb hand issues. Is he over it? I don't know. There's nothing else in the passing offense for the Titans that stands out for me, and I'm not touching any of them. For the Colts, you've got T.Y. Hilton, a reasonable 6,100 this week. He has not had one of his big-time T.Y. Hilton games in a while. Got a couple of 18s earlier this season, couple of 20s. Hasn't really done it consistently. But this is a breakout spot in my mind for T.Y. Hilton, and he will be someone I'm interested in this week in my daily fantasy lineups. you know, we need salary savers. He's at a reasonable price point. You know, if I'm deciding between Corey Davis and T.Y. Hilton, man, it's hard to pull the trigger on Davis with Hilton right there, a couple hundred more. Both the tight ends for the Colts are playable. Neither is an exciting play because they eat from each other. I never like teams with two tight ends. It's not a thing that I'm going to be excited about. Overall, though, I like the closeness of the projection on this game within 2 points of one another, and that should lead to constant pressure from both offenses. I expect both offenses to constantly need to score to keep up. I think this game will stay close. I think that both of these teams are similar in their talent. I like that it's a Colts home game. I like that the Titans are coming in with some momentum. So this should be a fun game, and I think that it will produce fantasy goodness. All right, before we head to the 4 o'clock games, let's do a little break and talk about DFS Army, and I'll be back in 30 seconds to break down the second half of the slate.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, we are back to break down the second half of the Week 11 NFL slate of games for FanDuel and DraftKings. And the next game on the docket, we have a divisional rivalry with the Broncos heading to L.A. to take on the Chargers. Early Skybook Sportsbook totals have the Chargers installed as 7-point favorites, with a 46.5 point over under. Let's look at the numbers. All right, so the Broncos run defense, very bad. Very, very bad. 28th DVOA, 25th most yards allowed to the position for carry. Chargers obliged. They say, hey, we've got a running back. We've got Melvin Gordon. We like him. Chargers have a really good run offense, obviously. Now, the Chargers' pass defense is number 2 in DVOA. The Broncos' pass defense, number 2 DVOA. So, very, very good. Very good. And the Chargers like to throw. The Chargers just have a good offense. Which is good. Let's look at the Chargers' defense for a minute. Nothing nondescript here. 20th versus the run, 13th versus the pass, pretty much average. Now, let's look at the players. Now, Denver has a tighter, a smaller amount of wide receivers that are viable now that they got rid of Demaryius Thomas. A couple weeks ago, Cortland Sutton was the, you know, the chalk play of the week. Didn't work out so well. Did his usual 8 or 9 fantasy points thing. Do we go back to Cortland Sutton in this matchup? Maybe. I like the play. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it in cash games, but it's certainly a tournament approach that I think would be wise to utilize. But really, this offense flows through Manny Sanders. And anytime Manny's being Manny, he's doing his thing. Just putting up fantasy points. Now, he's got also rough game against the Texans, but we just talked about that Texans defense. They don't allow a whole lot of scoring. This Chargers pass defense, nondescript. These two teams play each other pretty tight most of the time. So, you know, I'm going back to Manny Sanders here. Still relatively inexpensive, and he's basically the only game in town for this Denver offense. I will say that they do have, and they have been using, their tight end quite a bit. Jeff Hermann is coming off an 11-target game. Can he do it again? I don't know. DraftKings jacked up the price of Hermann from $2,600 to $3,700 just to screw us. Now, if he was down at $2,600, I think I just would have went all in on him. Screw it. It's pay down. But at $3,700, he's now priced similar to other potential options at the tight end position. So it's not as much of a, hey, let's just lock this guy in on our cash lineup. And, you know, even if he gets you a 10 or a 5, big deal, $2,500. Especially coming off an 11-target game, if he goes anywhere near that, you're like, well, if he gets 15 points, you know, that's a slate-winning number for a $2,600 play. But they raised him up a little bit. So we have to be aware of that. For the Chargers, I mean, everything starts with Keenan Allen. My biggest concern with Keenan Allen has just been, you know, a couple other weapons on the team, a heavy lean on the run, and he just has not had those explosion-type games this season. The closest he came was a couple weeks ago against Seattle, 24 points. But even last week at Oakland in a perfect matchup, priced up still in the 7K range, he only put up 17 points, which is really not quite enough to pay up for him. His salary's been coming down. He's been overpriced all season. And he's a guy that I don't think I've rostered even once. I think I need his salary to come down closer. It's getting there. He's at $6,700 on DraftKings right now. I think I need him at right around 6K to be fair or below value. Right now, he's overvalued every week because he's thought of as this extreme volume machine, but the Chargers have been added. They have Mike Williams. They have Tyrell Williams. They have the Williams brothers. And Melvin Gordon is just eating up a lot of this offense. So there's just not that much to go around. And there are weapons on this team that they didn't have in the past, which is why Allen is slightly underperforming his historical norms. It's the exact opposite of Emmanuel Sanders. If Emmanuel Sanders was playing with a quarterback, if Rivers was the quarterback of the Broncos, Sanders would be just an insane play because they only have Sanders and Cortland Sutton and maybe that tight end to throw to. This is a game where we can go back to Philip Lindsay, assuming that Hoyce Freeman doesn't play. If he does play, then I'm not sure I want to mess around with this running game at all. But if Freeman is out, Lindsay becomes a top play again. If Freeman plays, then Lindsay is a really sketchy, like, you know, punt. Because he's priced up as if he's getting the whole backfield to himself. But I love Melvin Gordon in this game. Love him every week. The only negative to Melvin Gordon is there are a plethora. That's right. I use the word plethora in this podcast. So, yeah. There are a plethora of potentially explosive players at the running back position at the stud price level. So, you know, Melvin Gordon, fine, but there are at least five or six other running backs that I'm excited to play as well. It's going to be interesting to try to figure out who between Gordon, Barkley, Zeke, Kamara, Christian McCaffrey we want to go with. Like, who's the best of that group? Tough to figure that one out. I don't know that there is a best. They're all really good and really great spots. Love to get two of them in my lineup. Not sure I'm going to be able to. Going to try. Now let's move on to the next game. A little less exciting. A little less. Not as exciting. But there is an exciting play in this game. So, we've got the Raiders heading to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. Cardinals are installed as 4-point favorites in this game. How do you like them apples? That's how bad the Raiders are. That the Cardinals are now favored against a team. Skybook Sportsbook has the over-under installed at 40 points. Not a lot of points. Not a lot of fantasy points to go around here. Let's see if the numbers bear anything out. Raiders run defense, 25th overall. Horrible. Raiders pass defense, 32nd. We found the worst one. There it is. I'm like, is it Tampa? Is it the Falcons? Is it the Bucs? Is it the Giants? Is it the Lions. Who's the worst? Nope, it's the Raiders. The Raiders are the worst pass defense in the league. They give up the most yards per pass. They're 32nd in DVOA. They're very, very bad. Let's look at the Cardinals. 12th overall DVOA against the run. 8th overall against the pass. So better versus the pass than the run. But Raiders don't really have much of a run game. And since they're about to take an ass whooping, I'm not worried about the Raiders offense at all. I'm not even touching it. Nothing to do with the Raiders offense. I like the Cardinals defense in this game. And in tournaments, I might pair them up with David Johnson. My issue with David Johnson is I don't know if I could pay $7,500. I don't know if I could pay just under Kamara, McCaffrey, Zeke, Barkley, and Gordon's salary for David Johnson, even though this matchup is very, very good. Technically, this matchup favors the pass for the Cardinals, which brings the Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald duo into play. It does not bring Josh Rosen into play. I'm sorry, but I cannot play that guy. I don't care who he's playing against. That said, this is the same Raiders defense that allowed Nick Mullins to put up 20-plus points. And if you feel lucky in tournaments, now I'm not a cash play, but if you want to get silly for the millie in some tournaments, $4,800 for Josh Rosen is a very low salary. Now again, I don't like it. This kid is maybe worse than Nick Mullins right now. Improving, but still not very good. Only has one 20-point game all season, and almost every other game is 12 or less. I will pass on that, outside of getting silly for the millie in the millie maker. For that same reason, we don't want to get too crazy with these Cardinals wide receivers. But I think both Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald are playable. David Johnson certainly playable, could have a smash game. My most exciting play, though, here is Cardinals defense. And let's see where their salary. Let's hope they do. Oh, yeah, they're one of the most expensive. Of course. So, that's unfortunate. Let me see what FanDuel's got these guys installed at. You know, there's a difference between FanDuel and DraftKings. In football, DraftKings is much more about adjusting salaries and pricing to reflect the matchup. FanDuel doesn't do that as much. So, yeah, FanDuel still has them up there pretty high, although not as high as, like, a couple of these other ones. Cardinals will be one of my top defense choices on the slate, unless I can locate another cheaper one that looks interesting, which I don't see too much of at this moment. But that doesn't mean that some value won't present itself. But for now, they seem like the one to go to. All right, and now we get to what I think is the most exciting game on the Week 11 slate. We're going to save the best for last, as usual. Is this the last one? Yeah. No. Let me see. There may be one more. The flex game always messes up my setup here. Did me? Yeah, there's one more after this. So, all right. Eagles, Saints. Saints are installed as fairly heavy 9-point favorites in this game, which is shocking to me. Shocking. Some big, heavy favorite. Skybook Sportsbook has the game total at 54.5 points. To be clear, oh, looks like it went up, yeah, 54.5 points. To be clear, that is by far the highest projection on the slate, followed by Giants Tampa and Carolina Detroit, significantly lower, but this one's not going to be close. This is the game that we want to get our fantasy goodness from, if possible. So let's pay close attention to the numbers on this one. Saints pass offense, one of the best in the league. Eagles pass defense, up there, 9th overall, DVOA. Eagles run defense, 23rd, not that good. We know the Saints have the number 2 overall DVOA run defense in the league. But their pass defense is terrible, 29-30. That's fine. Eagles don't run that much. They want to throw. So here's what we know. Eagles are going to attack through the air. Carson Wentz becomes the top quarterback play on the Week 11 slate. Wentz is awesome every week anyway. Now we get him at the Saints. The only negative with Wentz is obviously you're going to have to pay up for him. But this guy puts up 25 points every single week. Can he pass his usual 25? Maybe. He puts up 25 in bad matchups. Let's see what he can do in a good matchup. But he puts up 25 every single week. Drew Brees, a beast at home. A literal beast. Going up against an Eagles run defense, or an Eagles pass defense, that's a raw run defense. It doesn't matter. Drew Brees is a beast. He crushes it home. So those are our favorite plays. Fanning out. Now you'd think that Marshawn Lattimore would be on Alshon Jeffrey, which would push some of the passing to some of the secondary passing options. Zach Ertz. The Saints have actually been pretty good against tight ends, but Zach Ertz is on another level. So Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey. I haven't seen enough out of Golden Tate to say I'm even comfortable playing him at all. He did not look like an integral part of this offense last week. It's still early. I'm going to do a little more tape study on that one, and I'll have more on that in the VIP pods that come up for DFSArmy.com VIP subscribers later in the week. This is Tuesday, so just getting into it. But, you know, Tate didn't do a whole lot last week. I mean, 4 targets, 2 receptions. It's not that impressive. We'll see how the Eagles integrate him into the offense. I actually thought Tate would take Aguilar's looks. He did not. Aguilar actually had a decent game, 7 targets, 5 receptions the other night. So Aguilar's still involved, but sketchy and scary to play. But he certainly play a bull here. But Zach Ertz is the piece that stands out the most. I'm not excited about... I guess Wendy Smallwood is interesting as well. I don't like the other running back for the Eagles here, Allen. Mainly because... Let me just pull up Josh Adams, not Allen. Josh Adams, mainly because he's not being targeted in the passing game, and you know, so he would need a massive number of these carries or a touchdown. The best thing he's got going for him is $3,300 salary. Went down; it's super cheap. I'm not sure I want to waste a running back spot on him, but Wendy Smalls, he gets the targets, same $3,600 super cheap price. So. Either one of these two running backs is a punt. I'm not sure that either of them will make any of my teams. And again, with that Saints run defense being as good as it is, it doesn't really make sense to take a player, especially like Josh Adams, who's an up-the-gut grinder. But maybe, again, a Wendy Smalls in the passing game role. Maybe they expand that passing game role a little bit, knowing that it's tough to run up the middle on the Saints. On the Saints side of things, what's not to like? Kamara, once again, smash spot. Always a risk of volume with Ingram there, but I mean, he's just heavily involved all the time. We've got Mike Thomas, an every week beast. Nothing to talk about there. If this game is high scoring, Thomas, Kamara, gonna be involved. Traquan Smith, more of a dart throw than a sharp play, but that's how it goes with, daily fantasy football, you know. Fantasy football in general. Traquan Smith won't take much for him to crush his 4K asking price, but, you know, he is coming off a 0. This is a guy that needs the team in a close game, which I think is what they're going to be in this week. I think the Eagles... All right, my breakdown of this game is I believe the Eagles will be able to keep up with the Saints. Will they cover that 9-point spread? I don't know, but... I think they're going to keep up. I don't see a blowout. This Eagles team is not a team that's going to get blown out. They can score. Both teams are going to be pushing. And I like that. I like that for fantasy purposes. Like the Eagles side more than the Saints side, but I love both sides of this game. All right, let's move on to the last game. And this is from the 1 o'clock slate now. This was flexed. Interesting choice, but this is from the 1 o'clock slate. We've got the Steelers at the Jaguars. Skybook Sportsbook has installed the over-under at 47.5 points on this one, with the Steelers in as 6-point road favorites. Now, I don't make a point of playing teams against the Jaguars. I just don't. But the Jaguars seem to be a team on the collapse. They looked really bad defensively against the Colts last week. I don't know if they're giving up or what the story is with these guys, but since I'm not a big play Ben Roethlisberger on the road guy, the one obvious play, I guess, is Connor, the Terminator. Let's see what the Jaguars defense looks like. All right. So the Jaguars defense, oh, here we go. Here's some numbers. And I bet these numbers are progressively getting worse, but run defense, 9th DVOA, not great, not great, not great. Allowing quite a few yards per carry, middle of the range. Pass defense a little better, 7th DVOA. On the Steelers side, they're allowing the 14th, their middling run defense and 22nd overall against the pass, so not very good. A little better versus the run than the pass. Not allowing a whole lot of passing yards. So, I mean, like every week, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster are always playable, but these are all tournament plays for me. You're on the road at the Jaguars. You've got Ben Roethlisberger, who's not known for doing anything on the road, especially in the passing offense. So it's not a situation where I'm looking to get excited about paying up for players. It's not that these players can't have a big game. They can. Of course they can. It's the expectation. What do we expect to happen? Like, if Jalen Ramsey is on Antonio Brown, can Antonio Brown beat him? Of course he could beat him. It's Antonio Brown. He's freaking Antonio Brown. And DraftKings did oblige by reducing the salary level on him. But, like, should we actually shift over to Juju Smith-Schuster, who's going to get not Jalen Smith, Jalen Ramsey defense? Maybe they'll throw a couple more times his way. Or are they just going to lean on the run and get the Terminator for Pittsburgh? On the Jaguars side, we saw the return of Leonard Fournette last week. In a good matchup, he went crazy. Running game, I mean, it was impressive. 24 carries. Not a whole lot of yardage at the Colts, which wasn't super impressive. But 5 targets in the passing game. He scored a touchdown. Got 56 yards receiving. He was doing everything. Didn't go for yards. Can you play him here at home? I don't know. If the price was right, I'd be more interested. But again, he's in a middling range, kind of in no man's land for me, just with Connor and David Johnson. I either really want to pay down at running back, or try to, or pay up most weeks. Now, I don't know if there's a great pay down option. We have to see. We have to see. Right now, I don't know. But if there is, that's my preferred method of putting the lineups together with, you know, high and low end. Low-cost running backs, not these middle-tier ones. Last week, Moncrief had a pretty big game, but you can't trust this Jaguars passing game at all and who they're going to throw to. Dede Westbrook, you know, Moncrief. It could be anyone. Not trustworthy. Nor is Bortles. As a matter of fact, I'd say Pittsburgh defense is playable in this spot because Bortles really sucks a lot of the time. All right, and just a reminder, I will be back on DFSArmy.com with my Geeks Picks player pick sheet that comes out on Friday evening alongside the DFS Army VIP Wolfpack podcast, where myself and one of our NFL pros will join me to discuss the slate, go over player picks. Then I will be back on Saturday for a solo Players Club VIP only podcast, and of course on Sunday for the single game breakdowns for the Sunday night game, Monday night game. It never ends. Tons of content. We have our cornerback wide receiver sheets ready on DFSArmy.com. We have our NFL research station live on DFSArmy.com. Check that out. And again, if you are not currently a DFSArmy.com VIP subscriber and you like FanDuel and DraftKings and playing daily fantasy sports, what are you waiting for? You never had a chance. You need the tools to be successful at this. We show it every single week. Regular Joes, two kids, wife, full-time job. And they go to work because a wife is a full-time job. But I'm bum-zing. Anyway, winning, taking down tournaments, winning these showdowns, taking down big prizes. It's not to say that you join a group like ours with our tools and everything, and it's a money-printing cash machine. That is not what it is. Daily fantasy sports is hard. It's hard to beat 100,000 other people, but we're going to teach you the method for entering contests using proper bankroll management. I'm going to teach you the DFS Army ladder up method, which is the best way of maximizing profit while minimizing downside in daily fantasy sports, period. The ladder up method. If you're a DFS Army member, subscriber, or anyone, you should be doing the ladder method. Use our optimizer, our research stations. We're leveling the playing field so you have a chance. And you see it every day in our forums. Members, guys that other members are all chatting together with and you know, going to battle with every single day. All of a sudden, you know, this one wins 10 grand. You're like, oh shit, that's awesome. This one wins 100 grand. Yeah, baby. We had a $200,000 winner. These things happen. It takes a long time. You got to stay in the grind and you have to have the tools to at least keep your head above water while you wait for luck to turn your way. It's not a free money machine. But what we're doing is leveling the playing field, giving you the same tools, advice, news, information that that the best players have, so you're on a level playing field. Now we don't have something. I don't have a phone line to, you know, the coaches of the various basketball teams to let us know who's going to be scratched 2 hours in advance. We don't have that. But the second we know, you know, we're on it. We got people monitoring. That's how we roll. Football. Injuries happen. We're analyzing it. We're looking at pivots. If you're in DFS Army Slack, you were all over Mike Davis last week. We knew that Chris Carson was going to be out. So these things are very important. Information is important. And that's that little edge that you need to hopefully get over the profit, the hump to profitability. Daily fantasy sports, and stay in the game long enough for odds to turn in your favor and hopefully take down a big prize. Good luck this week, everybody. Like I said, I'll be back on Friday with the Geeks Pick Sheet and, of course, the Wolfpack VIP podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.